This episode is brought to you in partnership with Life Kitchens. Life create kitchens to be lived in, planned around your life and the way you live it. Explore their unique ranges and book a design consultation for a personal and practical approach to kitchens. Visit life-kitchens.co.uk.
I think it's important that you, as well as looking at the architecture of the property, interior and exterior, but you also allow it to talk to you and tell you what it needs before you trying to impose, you know, your agenda onto it.
Hello, I'm Carol Annett from Country and Townhouse magazine. Welcome to the House Guest podcast, where I chat with experts from the world of interior design and decoration, the people behind the houses, hotels, shops and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. If you listen on the Entail app, there's more information and images on the projects and people mentioned. And if you're doing up your own home, hopefully you'll pick up some tips for yourself. Today I'm chatting to Chris DeZiel, who founded Honky, an award-winning architectural and interior design firm, 20 years ago. Congratulations, Chris. Can you believe that it's been 20 years?
No. It's on the one hand, possibly yes. You know, it feels like yesterday, but also at times, you know, running your own business, there's always a feeling of a bit of a struggle. And I suppose, you know, that's what any business owner that's been in business for a period of time probably feels. You know, it's not luck. You know, it's hard graft, and it weighs heavy on the shoulders at times. But it's been ultimately rewarding, and you know, no 2 days are the same.
Yeah. So you're 12 in the team now, and you're based in Balham. Tell us a little bit about how it started. Can you remember your first project?
I can. To be honest, I was working with a design company previously in Surrey. And I'd worked there for about 10 years and decided the time was right to leave. And was fortunate that one of my existing clients was looking to take a designer on more permanently because they just bought a large portfolio of refurbishment property in SW1, SW3 locations. So it was a kind of natural move to go and work with him exclusively and help him deliver property to the market for sale. And it got me exposure, a lot of exposure quite quickly, because the properties were of that caliber, and introduced me to a lot of private clients from the get-go. So it was a very smooth transition. And with the confidence of being guaranteed projects rather than starting from scratch and wondering where the next project would come from. It's very lucky indeed.
Where did the name Honky come from?
Oh, well, it means an awful lot of things to a lot of people. To be honest, it was the birth of me thinking that I wouldn't be around for very long, so it didn't really matter what I called the company.
You should have had more faith.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a bit like band names, and band names all sound daft when there's three of you sat around a table in a pub talking about what your band's going to be called until you're, you know, mega famous and global, and then you can be called anything you like. I'd like to think in our small way, you know, there was a bit of thought about it having sort of semi-negative connotations in, you know, to one generation, and me wanting to take a word that had kind of fallen out of use and actually make it mean something else. So there was that bit of an edge. There was a bit of, you know, are we allowed to use that word? I'm not sure. But ultimately, it was just about taking a word and changing people's perception of it. And it means good times to a lot of people, you know, honky tonk. So, but yes, if I'd have known 20 years ago that it would be still hanging around, perhaps I would have given it some more thought. But luckily enough in the industry now, enough people, you know, within the industry, if people hear the name, they associate it with us and our interiors. So,
yeah. Now, you say that when you first are thinking about a project, you should sit in a space and let it talk to you.
What do you mean by that?
I do indeed. Well, I think you need to assess a space and allow it. Too many people can come with preconceived ideas, and that's, you know, members of the public, or it can even be designers who are trying to put their house style into an interior. And I think, you know, a lot of times property speaks to you, you know, rooms speak to you, and whether or not that's how you use a space, whether or not it's how the light, when the light hits the, you know, the front of the house or the rear of the house, I think it's important that you, as well as looking at the architecture of the property, interior and exterior, but you also allow it to talk to you and tell you what it needs before you trying to impose, you know, your agenda onto it. And I think that's an important thing, because sometimes, you know, someone will speak to you about what they perceive they want, you know, how they want to live in the space, or because they're moving up and it's a larger property, then, you know, they want this and that. And actually, you know, sitting in the space, talking with the clients, and actually understanding how they live currently can inform your choice for the interior, when they use the spaces, how they use the spaces. You don't want to create dead rooms in a property. So people might aspire to have a, I don't know, a cinema room or a formal dining room. But actually, if that's not how the family live, it's pointless doing that. And they may have other needs which are further down their pecking order. So actually, it's important that you understand how the clients use the space, where it's a private client.
How has the style of Honky changed over those 20 years? What are you doing differently now to what you did at the beginning?
Well, everything's a journey. I would probably say stylistically, for me, I've softened. but I think, you know, there's been a general softening, you know, I suppose initially my design would have been more kind of minimal Italian and quite harsh and functional. So, which is fairly true of men, you know, interiors typically have, you know, furniture has a function. If it doesn't have a function, you don't have it. If you're looking in the estate agent's window, you can always tell a single man's flat or house as opposed to a family.
Yeah, I always think of that, the Joseph store. Do you remember Joseph Letegi and the store on Brompton Cross? I just wanted to live in that showroom. I mean, it would have been hellishly uncomfortable, but I would have looked really cool.
Yeah, no, beautiful, beautiful, absolutely. So yeah, I think I've softened as a designer. And I guess you're a sum of your parts. I always say that a designer is their little black book of trades and artisans and craftsmen. But that's true in terms of your own skill. And some of that is, it's experience. It's, you know, it's, for me, it's experience. And it's from learning from mistakes and not being caught out again. And I don't think you can necessarily, I don't think you can teach that at a university course or an interiors course. I think a lot of it has to do with a willingness to understand, whether or not that's how fabric drapes or how construction is sequenced. There's a every day, you know, I'm still learning, 30 years in the business, and I'm still learning every day, but I know a lot more now than I did 20 years ago. And I get caught out a lot less than I did, you know, 20 years ago.
And tell us about some of the projects you're working on, because one of the ones that particularly interested me was the changes in retirement living, because I think I'm right in saying you've been working on some properties that are for that kind of 70 plus age, where you know, what we would call kind of traditionally old people's homes, but that's a whole new ball game now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And especially in central London. I mean, we're fortunate enough to be working on a couple of different properties for later living. And we're also looking at a hospitality members club on the same basis. So it requires a different skill set and a different thought, but in the same way that it would if it was, you know, hospitality or medical, there are certain things that you need to consider. It's you know, I suppose you could be cynical and say, you know, it's the last generation with any money, because going forward, we're all going to be paying for COVID. So, you know, that's the next two or three generations knocked out. But it's as a challenge, it's a really interesting area for me to look at and to develop some skill on. And it's different. It's like anything. You've got everything in your kind of somewhere in your memory, haven't you? But it's that instant recall. And when you work on certain types of projects, the suppliers, the dimensions, the treatment of things is, you know, instantly at hand. And when you start looking at something that you haven't sort of touched on specifically for a little while, actually, and you kind of reacquaint yourself, refamiliarize yourself with those elements. And they're elements that you kind of remembered, but actually drilling down and focusing on them, you know, sharpens your skills.
Yeah. And what about some of the other projects that you've got ongoing at the moment?
Well, we've always had a close relationship with developers, and our work, and we're very fortunate to have some long-standing relationships. And we work on the developer side, from very simple show apartments and marketing suites. We differ from a lot, in as much as we get involved in the architectural and specification side. So we're fortunate enough to have three projects on the go at the moment, where it's full specification for, you know, 100 and such apartments, which is nice again, because it involves you at a much earlier stage. And what you're able to do is, whilst there might be minimal changes that you can make, you can deliver a product that actually improves people's quality of life. And that may just be, it can be any number of things, but it's nice to know that you're actually trying to do what you can within the developer's budget. It's not about boxes, you know, it is about trying to evolve, and it is about wanting to give people as much as you can within the scope that you have. We're fortunate that we work across a number of areas. So we have hospitality projects on at the moment, which is, as I said, a members club. And we have some international projects. I have a project in Barbados at the moment, which I'm hoping to visit at some point in the future when travel allows.
Yeah, that's always a bonus of an overseas project, isn't it? Actually going and getting there and spending some time there.
Well, again, it's one of those projects where it was kind of pretty much, well, it was built really when I went to view it. And initially, the kind of intention was that, you know, well, we can send you some plans and send you some pictures. At one point, I think it was muted that there was a kind of flight out in the morning and a flight back the same evening. And I tried to explain, and ultimately we got what we wanted, in as much as you need to sit in the space, and you need to understand the market, you know, see what's available on the island, because, you know, you don't want to be shipping stuff 5,000 miles if there's somewhere where, you know, again, using local artisans. There's a big history of using coral. Well, the islands are made of coral, so it's actually more like coral quarried stone. And, you know, you don't want to be shipping something in when there's someone local on the island that actually gives it reference.
Yeah. And going back to how things have changed for you work-wise, is this more of an angle now for sustainability and thinking about organic products or environmentally friendly products? I mean, is that an important part of what you do? Is that what clients are asking for?
It varies on from client to client. Our developer clients and the industry actually is really pioneering in terms of wanting to deliver products that meets that criteria. Manufacturers aren't producing excess or waste. You know, there's very much about it's very much about cradle to cradle production in terms of using byproducts or burning waste, you know, to heat the factories, or innovations in green energy. And all major manufacturers are doing that because it makes sense. You know, nobody wants to be tarred with the brush of, you know, polluter, and it just doesn't make commercial sense. So everyone is forging ahead as quickly as their, you know, their business allows. And so modern developers are at the forefront of that. Private clients, it varies on the project. As designers, we of course always look to try and specify products that have green credentials. And it's better for us to be associated with companies where all of your sanitary ware is RAS approved, all of your timber is sustainable. And where possible, we look at, you know, if we're changing heating systems and things for renovations, we look at the viability of ground source heat pumps and or air source heat pump. And we do what we can. We do as much as we can. And we certainly steer away from products that we know aren't certificated and approved just because, you know, there are decent alternatives. And in some cases, that does mean in certain timbers and hardwoods and things that you can't specify them. But we're very lucky. There's a plethora of product out there and major innovations in terms of sustainable replacement for something that you can no longer really justify specifying.
And where do you garner all your knowledge from? I mean, do people come to you and present product and send it to you, or do you have to get out there and go to the shows, or, you know, where do you get your awareness of what's happening?
I guess everywhere, you know, you read social media. There's an awful lot of Insta groups and lots of architectural groups that I belong to. So there's lots of inspirational people that you can follow via social media, and things that inspire me are very strange. If you looked at my my photo library, the details that I've kept from sort of 15 years ago, whether or not that was an exhibition stand or whether or not it was a quirky detail from an old industrial building, it's all there. I think then the amount of time I have to scroll through years worth of photography just to find this detail that I know I took, and at the time, maybe for 10 years, I've been looking at that photo going, you'll use it one day, you know. And you know, if you don't take the picture, you know, it's lost, you know, it's lost for eternity. So I get inspired by a lot of things, and not necessarily looking in the direction of other designers. I mean, in part, you're kind of stuck as manufacturing moves in a direction, and as colours, you know, Pantone colours for this year and next year, it means, therefore, that lots of people are supplying things in that colour range. So your hands are slightly tied there.
Yeah.
But we have such an enormous manufacturing base to draw upon. And of course, you know, you can bespoke what you want if it doesn't exist.
And have you had any particular highlights? I mean, I know there's probably many, many to come, but anything that you're particularly proud of, or projects?
Surviving.
And going from strength to strength.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's one of those questions. Yes, there have been over the years, but they kind of course, they fade. You know, this last year's kind of major project and success is kind of less important now because it's in the past. And of course, you're always wanting to move forward. And as I say, you're always learning. So there are projects throughout my time in business that when we were awarded them and when we worked on them, they were, you know, my favorite project. And if you look back over our awards and accolades over the years, they've been rewarded as such because other people felt the same way. So there's been a vote of confidence in my work because of that. And we have some interesting projects on at the moment, and they will get my full focus. And they're the projects I care most about at this moment in time. And I'm constantly looking on the horizon for the next project. We have We have a building coming out of the ground shortly in King's Cross, which we've provided the full specification on. I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's something that was designed last year. So I'm looking to forward to seeing that come out of the ground. And that's always one of the most exciting parts for me. We've got a building which is just completing in Hoxton. And that is it's really nice. It's a lovely, it has a Core 10 exoskeleton. And that exoskeleton.
What does that mean?
It's you can see the structure on the outside of the building. So a bit like the Lloyds building, you can see the frame of it. And Core 10 is a steel which is supposed to rust. It doesn't affect the intrinsic structure of the product itself, but it rusts on the outside. So when it goes up, it's a little bit ugly until it weathers. But once it weathers in, it almost weathers down to a, you know, a brown black kind of tonality. But you get that patina running across the material. So that's now starting to patina nicely on the outside. We're due to install the reception area for that project next week. And as the subcontractor pulls out of the various areas, I'm looking at terraces and gyms and communal areas, people's front doors, people's apartment illuminated numbering and our wayfinding suggestions, and it's all coming together, you know, and that's why we do it. Here you go, I guess.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. Thanks, Chris. It's really, really lovely to talk to you, and congratulations again for 20 years and for the next 20 moving forward.
Thank you very much. Lovely talking with you.
Thanks for listening to House Guests from Country and Townhouse Magazine with me, Carol Annett. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on iTunes or Entail, where you can also find images, links and notes to enhance each episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett and keep up to date on all the podcast news and show notes online at countryandtownhouse.co.uk/podcast.
And please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. For more news and views in the world of interior design, sign up to our newsletter at countryandtownhouse.co.uk, and why not listen in to our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Fruity Metcalf.